This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
It's time for the Brian Roos Show on Revolution Radio, coming to you from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Brian and his guests talk about the big picture, the world view of reality with good and evil. They explore the truth and lies from aliens to globalists to advanced ancient civilizations.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Welcome to the Revolution Radio Show. This is the Brian Roos Show on Tuesday, September the 6th, 2022. So if you'd like to call in to my live radio show and call in right now or the top of the second hour, our phone number here is 603-635-4946. So you can call in right now or forever hold your peace for another hour. And what I've got planned for you today, if there's no calls or after the calls are over, I can continue off from last week. I was playing Mary Rodwell. I recently had her on. She's an Australian ufologist, you could say. She does hypnosis and counseling and therapy. She's worked on over 3,000 people. Oh, I've got a call coming in right now, actually, so I'll hit this. There we go. So I'm answering the caller on Revolution Radio. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi there. This is the Brian Roos Show. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Brian? I'm doing okay here, you know, just in America.
This sounds like Mike. Familiar voice, right?
Yes, this is Mike, the one and only.
Yeah, we
Hopefully
have...
my sound is a little better than last week or the week before, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I was going to suggest if you have Skype, I can call you on Skype. Do you have a Skype account?
I haven't used Skype in a long time, but, I mean, is this recording right now on the radio?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you don't have a Skype right now, I'll have to use a phone. But if you have a Skype next time,
we can
I can.
Use the phone.
Yeah,
next time let's do Zoom or Skype and maybe just.
No, Revolution Radio only works on Skype. No, so Revolution Radio only works on Skype. But if you have a Skype number,
Microsoft
I have
product.
To call you on Skype. You can't call in on Skype. So if you give me your Skype, if you send the Skype to Brian Rue, then I can call you when the show begins, you know? Yeah, it is better sound, but phone is adequate, you know?
Yeah, I'll have to do that next time.
But it's always good to have live calls rather than playing a pre-recorded talk. So, yeah, well, you're the caller. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I definitely have plenty to talk about. So let's start with the first topic is just let me give an introduction here. So this is actually a very important topic for this whole movement, right? Not just National Socialism, but for anti-Semitism, right? I mean whatever they term anti-Semitism, all these people out there who are waking up or who've been woken up for a while mostly target the Jews as a group. And yes, that is the group, the ideology, the race, the culture. I mean, all their books, right? Everything that everyone has been, waking this group up to over the past few thousand years. I mean, going back to Nero, right, and these other groups that tried to solve this problem, even back then, it's always been the group, right? We have to change our mentality and really get people to target the Jewishness, the attitudes, the actions, the thoughts, the words. I mean, we're getting nowhere targeting the group and going through all their biblical prophecies and all of their control mechanisms. We're getting nowhere. Everybody, I mean, not to drop names, but I'm going to, No More News, Goyim TV, Martinez Perspective. I mean, a lot of these people have kind of gone like mainstream within this alt-right community, and it's turned into entertainment. They're feeding people what they need for legitimacy and for entertainment. So, and I really think the Thule Society can really be the leader of this, because this is what the original Thule Society was about. They were about focusing on the individual esoteric side of things, the esotericness of the Germans in the Thule Society at that time. And they weren't targeting the Jews as a group until later on, right? So I think we really need to focus on this, harness this, and spread the word. Like, let's get the qualities that we can instill in ourselves. Because at the end of the day, with the way that the world is right now, possible nuclear war. I mean, obviously, they've been saying that for the last 70, 80 effing years, right? But we need to look at ourselves and spread this message and get as many people as we can to say, I mean, I'm not effing perfect, right? I'm not perfect, but I can realize these things and have some type of spiritual step forward in my day-to-day actions and thoughts. And people might say, okay, that's, a loser's mentality. But no, I mean, I came from nothing in America, and I'm in 10 years, 31 years old. I've made, a few hundred thousand dollars a year over the past couple of years. So, I mean, I've done well for myself, but I'm not someone who's, extremely wealthy. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not someone who has old money. I've been okay. And to me, that's not that important now. I could make $20,000 a year and be happy if I'm really living the direction I can. So I witnessed this. I realized this. And I probably would consider myself a loser for the way of living in today's demiurge, living towards this system that we live in, right? I'm a loser to that. But I like to think I'm a winner in terms of this whole esoteric Hitlerism mindset and way forward. And just the question is, how can we really harness this and focus on the Jewishness and stop focusing on the group? Because it's too reactionary. It's reactionary versus proactionary. And that's what I want to start off with. If we can discuss this, there's a lot I can get into with books I've been researching on this, and who's actually doing this, and just get into that if that's a good topic to go forward.
Yeah, so it seems like you're talking about two things. You're talking about us developing ourselves spiritually and talking about the problem of the Jews as a group, right?
Correct, because we look at the history of the Jews, and they're it's a corrupted group. I mean, if you go back to the history, I mean, the Hebrews and the Israelites and the original Jews, they had a lot of esoteric knowledge. I mean, they weren't just destroyers of cultures. They weren't just people who were about hoarding wealth and about treating their non-group people like cattle, right? But they have been so successful in this world, because people have to realize once people get away from the whole Christian mindset and look at the dualism of this world, it is a demiurge. I mean, we have pleasure, we have pain, we have to go to work, we have to wake up, we have to do all this stuff. And it is, people can get into the whole matrix or the whole cycle or the whole control mechanism, but it is, we have to agree with that. And they've done well. And I think we have to stop looking at this whole biblical aspect, this whole group aspect, because it's mostly Zionists. And truthfully, I live in an area of the country, East Coast, around a lot of government people, mostly white people, non-Jews. And I'm telling you, man, I've learned it is these people. I'm telling you, it is it's white traitors. But Gal Serrano calls them this, the white traitors from during Hitler's time, it was in England. They were in France. They were in the United States. The white traitors, the Zionists, who have sold out their race and sold out their
I agree.
To work with these Zionists. If it wasn't for them, the Jews would not have as much power as they do right now. And I've witnessed this a lot because I've worked in some government and I'm in this really wealthy area with a lot of old money. And these people, they want to keep their power and money, and they know who to bow down to in this demiurgic world. They know who to work with in this demiurgic world. So, you know, maybe they're the winners in this world. And people have to start realizing that. Does it mean anything? Is it worth anything to realize this knowledge, take it, understand it? And once it hits spiritually, it's like, damn, I can't ignore that. Do I just live my life of, you know, making lots of money and just being all materialistic? Gym, car, clothes, whatever, you know, having a bunch of children that are going to be in the same cycle and mechanism, right? So I'm sort of rambling on a bit, but this really has been irritating me, especially with this whole, situation in the government now, just, you know, the whole Biden speech and the whole, Putin thing. And I used to be a whole Trumper. I used to be a Trumper, a conservative, totally, totally nationalistic. But at this point in time, I'm saying, excuse my language, fuck America. And I hope Russia rocks our shit, okay, because of what I've seen in this country and these white traitors. So that's what I want to bring up and maybe just relax a bit and not have a reactionary tone and figure out how we can be pro-actionary and really say, people, look at the Jewishness in you, not the whole biblical aspect of it. Okay, let's look at usury, but look at usury of your mind and usury of your soul.
Yeah, I mean, I could comment on that. I had Michael Hoffman Jr. as a guest once, and he said that we can understand a Jew being a Jew, but he said the white traitors are worse than the Jews because it's very unnatural for white people to betray their own race. But it's not unnatural for a Jew to be a Jew to attack us. So he felt the biggest problem is white people working for the Jews, betraying their own race. And there's more shills, like you're talking about Zionists and like Christian Zionists. There's more Christian Zionists on the planet than there are Jewish Zionists. So I think I agree with you there. That's a huge problem. developing ourselves spiritually, I think that's a very important point. Instead of just fighting what's wrong in the world, we have to build what's positive, have a vision of what's uplifting and creative and spiritually inspiring and moving ourselves forward and developing ourselves rather than just exhausting all of our energy, fighting what's evil, fighting what's wrong in the world. I think I was kind of doing a lot of the fighting since 2014. I made all these videos about the Jewish problem in the world, but it got exhausting, so I don't want to lose sight of what sort of a world do we want to have. I did a video once with John Friend in San Diego. Mm-hmm. He said he was lifting weights one day and he thought, well, what sort of a world do I really want to have? What sort of a vision do we have for our future? So he thought about that instead of just pointing out the international Jewish problem. Yeah. So where do we go from here, Mike?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because if we look at, I mean, think about No More News, for example, right? I mean, he gives lots of good knowledge, but it's so repetitive. Someone could spend days in terms of hours, weeks in terms of hours, looking into his videos if they're new. Or they could read one or two books and get more knowledge, right? But then at that point, what does the knowledge actually give you? Right? How do we actually just individually take this call and move forward? I noticed that was something that Joe Svensson said from the 55 Club. Loki interviewed him. People should check that out. It's on BitChute. Just look up Joe Svensson and you'll hear his interview. It was great. He pretty much brings up, there's a lot of people who get into, the greatest story ever told and, National Socialism. There's not many people who really get into S-circularism and more of the poetry to it, because the National Socialism is going to give you the facts and the quantity of what actually happened. But the S-circularism side is going to give you the quality and the spiritual aspects to it. Because Serrano speaks in a lot of prose, right? He refers to a lot of other, Gnostic texts, but he really speaks in a way that if you aren't open to it spiritually, it's going to fly right over your head. And for me at this point, it's really about which way do you want to take. And I feel like there are a lot of people out there who probably are going through something similar. Is forget it and live with and for the demiurge. Wake up, work, family, wife, cars, maybe have a boat, make some money, have a business. That's nice. America is decent. It gives us that opportunity. But at what point, who are we serving, right? Where are we making our money? Where are we spending our money, right? Who are we spending it with? It takes a lot of energy though, right? Say, for example, if someone's not going to spend and, associate with Amazon, for example, is that really going to do much, right, for someone's soul or for the external world? Just, boycotting certain companies that are associated with Zionists? What do you think about that one? That's maybe your first topic.
Well, yeah, I once did a video with Dennis Wise, and he said, well, if you've worn a pair of Levi's jeans, then you're supporting Jewish power and Jewish, and you just can't avoid it. I mean, they just permeate all of society, so you can't boycott everything in the world that's part of Jewish power because they're just everywhere. So I don't think it would do much. Do you want to define for the audience the word demiurge? Like in Buddhism, we have Mara. Mara is like the evil one. It's sort of the force of evil in the world. So demiurge, is that like a Gnostic term you're using? Oh, you still there?
Yeah, the demiurge, that has a pretty good definition, just give me a second.
I guess it means, is your phone cutting in and out? I think we just lost you there. But you're still on the call.
Cut this part out. Yeah, I had to. Yeah, someone else can call in if they want. I just got home. But,
No, there's no one else calling in. I'm just wondering how your phone fix is.
Yeah, that's fine. We can cut this part out or just let it go on the fly. That's no problem.
Yeah, I'm in favor of spiritual development. And people can, whatever spiritual path they want, it's not like we have to decipher what spiritual path they have as long as they're uplifting themselves. There's various spiritual paths. But, we mentioned the Thule Society. Our website is thulesociety.com. I'm the president of the Thule Society. We accept, we don't have to have any particular religious persuasion, but we should have a spiritual interpretation of Adolf Hitler. It was someone more than just an intelligent chancellor. Somebody had some gift or power or something about him. Yes, something else.
Exactly. Okay, so in your opinion, it doesn't necessarily matter what type of religion or political, association someone has. I mean, it's not. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think a Christian in this day and age has to wake up, right? I mean, Wayne says it perfectly in the Order of the Crescent. Christians have to wake up to what they're actually associated with.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Protestants. I mean, they have to wake up to who they're serving, especially LDS. I mean, LDS have literally turned into the Jews of America.
That's the Mormons, the Church of Latter-day Saints. They're Mormons, right?
100%, yeah. They've turned into the Zionists of this part of the world.
I think it started off that way. Didn't the Mormons begin with the Masons back in the 1500s? The Mason that founded it, right?
Yeah, they came out of the Second Great Awakening in Northern New York. Joseph Smith, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, of revelations happening at that time where people believe that, you know, you can be, people can be, you know, reawoken to the spirit. So I've been involved in that. I've been involved in, you know, Lutheranism, Catholicism, old school Catholicism, and we're just really going to see, you know, what is Christianity about. I mean, I think people should look up the Joy of Satan, Order of the Crescent. I'm probably saying things that are, you know, standard in a lot of people's vocabulary that are in this. But then again, I mean, at this point, how do you get normies into something like that? I mean, you're going to have a very few people who are going to say, oh, Joy of Satan, oh, you know, Christianity bad. No, they're obviously going to think it's bad, that is bad, right? By saying Christianity is bad or by saying Satanism, the real Satanism, has a lot of good topics. So you have people thrown off right there, right? So it's really a tough thing to be able to inject this and introduce some of these topics to just normal day-to-day people. Really what I think is people just need a spiritual deliverance and really release themselves from all this stuff. You can do this at individual aspects, but if you don't really have a wide swath of people totally being the adversary to the system, then it's not going to work. So maybe my thesis, what I presented today, is just null and void. I just wanted to present this and talk to you because I've been doing a lot of research just on books out there of what it means to be like a Jew, right? Not a Jew as a race. I mean, typically they don't convert people to Judaism who are, you know, not of that culture or race or have a mother who's a Jew. So it's not like other religions where you can just join any race. But typically there's no really research out there I found where people discuss this with facts about what it means to be like a Jew from our side, from more of the anti-Semitism side. From the Semitism side, they just talk about, you know, the way they talk, the way they eat, the way they look, stuff like this. So that was one of my theses, just researching for a potential book, was, you know, being like a Jew in this modern day and age, and showing the facts of how 99% of anti-Semites are reactionary when we have to take a step back and look at how we can be anti-Semitic in a proactionary way.
Yeah.
In an adversarial way. I mean, you know, a civil disobedience is good. Obviously, we can't lose people to death or to incarceration, but we need people to step up in this anti-Semitism movement and understand what the proactionary principle is, and how we can
see
it ourselves. Yes, and provide it to others. Because at the end of the day, you know, if these people just want to have a comfortable life, most people just want to have a comfortable life, and that's just how it goes. So maybe it's meant to be.
Yes, it's hard. It's hard to find solutions. It's easier to find.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with what you're saying about Christianity. Getting back to that, virtually all of Christianity is controlled by Jewish power. There's the Catholic Church plus 33,000 Protestant denominations, virtually all controlled by Jews. So they're Zionists. They don't criticize Israel. Yeah. And that's a huge problem because there's over a billion Christians in the world. Yeah, so when I talk about people developing their own spiritual path, I don't mean just Christians going to church on Sunday. I guess I'm thinking I'm a Buddhist. So I have no other people that are Vedic or Hindu, Eastern philosophy. Yeah. I think of that as a real spiritual path, and the Thule Society, of course.
I think it's exactly. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, people can't deny that the Eastern religions are much more spiritual, and you can just see that from the history.
Yeah, I think
the Christian religions have been about industry. Yeah, the Christian religions have always been about government and industry, where the Eastern religions haven't focused necessarily on a religion as an industry and a government, in in a non in a secular way, right?
Yeah, they are in Eastern religion going more inward, like at least in Buddhism, you're trying to go more inward, develop your soul spiritually. Whereas, I guess the Christian religion, controlled by Jewish power, it's an instrument of the state. It's a form of controlling people.
Right.
I mean, not to say there aren't good things about it. There's good ethics and things. But yeah, I think your original point is we have to develop ourselves spiritually rather than just fighting Jewish power. But I think people can do that in different ways. I mean, we can't spiritually lead 8 billion people. They have to find, but we can encourage them to develop themselves spiritually. There's different ways of doing it.
Exactly. And even Islam. I mean, why do you think they're always targeting Islam and everyone's a terrorist? Because even Wayne talks about this in Order of the Crescent, and there's a lot of factual information to it. I mean, Islam at its roots is more spiritual and more direct to initial cause, but I meant to biblical history, right? Islam is more efficient.
I should mention the vice president of our Thule Society, Diane Chase. She's lived in Islamic countries for 10 years in Kuwait and Egypt, working there.
Yeah.
And she really liked the Muslim culture.
No way.
She found they really cared for people. Like, they would care for older people, strong family values, a good sense of community.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's particularly Muslim, but she felt that the community was good. That the society was a pretty good, caring society.
Exactly. Now, the modern Islam over the past, 1,500 years or so has been corrupted, right? I mean, Sunnis and the whole, it's a whole, monarchy that goes back, but really the Quran and the history of this really, it goes even more back to, Hermeticism and, Kabbalah goes, way back too. But obviously it's mostly a fabrication, just like Christianity, right? They're both Judeo-Christian. So that's the thing versus Eastern religions, right? Eastern religions are more individualistic, but they work better because of the implicit caste system in those societies.
Yeah.
I mean, look at India, look at Asia. I mean, look at Japan, China. They've always had a sort of caste system, a regime. And it's kind of been implicit, built in, where you look at Christianity and there wasn't a lot of individualism at all until about the Enlightenment, right? When they started getting into, science and art, medicine, the French Revolution, right? The French Revolution was all individualism. And look at the Middle Ages, Dark Ages. It was opposite individualism, right? People went to death for individualism. So there's two sides of it, right? Inward, but outward. Evola talks about that in such good ways. He even shits on fascism in a sense, because he says the fascism of Italy was a corrupted and it was weakened. It wasn't anything like a Roman fascism. And even before that, there was fascism that was more cultural. It was more implicit in every single person's, way of being. But, and then you look at a caste system nowadays, and what do you think about that? Do you think that it ever worked? I mean, I think it's implicit in the system, right? I think another one of my theses is, everyone's talking about these different, socio-political, left-right, different spectrums. Everyone's talking about these different governments and political frameworks, Marxism, communism, fascism, capitalism. If we look at all of them, it's such a hodgepodge, complex system at the macroscopic, the mesoscopic, and the microscopic. all these are in play. Every single one of these, you know, socio-political paradigms is in play. So we're talking about national socialism. There is national socialism in parts of governments around the world. And let's just say one government, because we're already living in the New World Order, right? America is at the head, but actually it's Britain at the head. Britain is at the head, always have been, and with them is the Zionists and this old school money power.
Yeah.
That's the one world government of America. But if you look at all the socio-political aspects of America, they're all involved. National socialism. Everything that ends with an ism or an you know, ocracy, N-A-C-Y, technocracy, oligarchy, capitalism, communism, that's all in existence. And you see all these people and these entertainers, you know, shitting on communism, but no one knows what communism is. People, there's an old school communism and there's a new school communism. The new school communism has been so corrupted, right? People don't even know what the definition of that is. So people have to look up their definition and say, there's a capitalism of how it was, you know, 500 years ago, laissez-faire, you know, free enterprise, and there's a capitalism as it is now. It's totally different. There's a communism as it was when Peter Kropotkin wrote about communism. And
how would you describe the difference between old communism and new? How would you describe the two?
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Peter Kropotkin wrote Conquest of Bread, right? And what he says is the communistic aspects of a society. It doesn't have to be all communism, right? It could be at the top, you know, monarchy, or at the top, a republic. Macroscopically, it could be a republic. You know, microscopically, it's, you know, think about it. There's natural resources, right? There's air, there's water, there's energy. Say if you have just a state, take a state as an example. You have a certain amount of natural resources, a certain amount of population. It is within our duty, unless we want to be animals, to have control of those resources, all right? So basically, the original classical communism says you have a control on electricity, right? Which we do now. Okay, no one points that out. That is communistic at its bare bones, right? So how is that bad?
Do you define communism, though, as 1848, Karl Marx? Wasn't that at the beginning with the Communist Manifesto?
No.
At the beginning of communism?
No, Marx, yes. Hold on. Marxism, people need to actually define that correctly. Marxism was built in England by the Jews. By when we say Zionist, okay, and it's all B'nai B'rith, it's all Britain, it's their family, that group is technically the main Zionists running the world. Sure, it's the Jews, but when I'm saying white traitors, it's them. And then it falls down to America and a lot of these, you know, governments and people here. But Marxism is a non-classical form of communism, right? So Marxism is what we're in now, which people would consider communism. This is what I want to say about Marxism. When you see Marxism today, it's basically, okay, go to any suburb, right? Just go to the store, right? Everyone goes to the store. Everyone goes to get gas. Try to have a conversation with somebody, right? Just look at people, right? But not at a superficial way, right? We're robots. We're golems. We're what the Marxists want us to be, right? Okay? Technology, means of production, right? I mean, you can't blame people, right? We have truck drivers. We have hardworking people that deliver us all of our food and everything else and support most people, right? Most middle-class people don't work for all that stuff. They make money, right? They're in services. So that's Marxism. When you get a population to have a similar mindset, we have TV. We have the internet. It's even happening on BitChute now, right? You have like the top 20 people on BitChute who, when you see the themes that they talk about, they're in there. So this is what Marxism is, right? This is the neoclassical versus classical, right? Modern versus classical forms of these socio-political spectrums. And no one wants to define them as separate. But they say, oh, no, it's communism. I mean, you have, okay, the Republicans now, I've been a Trumper. I've been a Republican. And I come from, like, nothing. And I've, you know, worked hard. I'm not a Democrat. I'm probably more Democrat, truthfully. But because what I've seen is the Republicans, the old money, they're hoarders. The more money you have, the more you make. They're hoarders, okay? That's not free enterprise, okay? That is power growing, right, into more power, more easily than a normal person can acceptably grow their power in terms of real estate, family, in investments, time to do their own things, right? Time to make their own businesses, right? So if you look at this, this is oligarchy, right? And this is Marxism, because you have that group, you have that 1% of group, but then you have probably 10 to 20% of America who's old money. To them, $100 million, nothing, right? So I'm not saying that's bad, okay? I'm not saying when a family dies or someone dies, the government takes all their money. But if you look at the means of production, there's modern-day slaves, okay? They need people to come from Central and South America, okay? These are their workforce, but these are the modern-day slaves. It's a different form of slavery. It's a different form of communism, but it's Marxism.
It's oligarchy, it's right. We live in an oligarchy, that's true. It's disguised as a democracy, but it's really an oligarchy.
Marxism is basically communism of the brain, okay, of the soul. Communism is its form of, you know, social political spectrum of natural resources. You know, when 300 years ago people didn't have, you know, medicine, you know, like a lot of medicine that would heal them. You know, people got to look. I mean, the industrial age wasn't a total bad thing because people have such a more of a quality of life. But you look at before that, people relied on communism. And I saw this when I lived in Minnesota. In Minnesota, people are more Democrat. They know there's more Democrats because they know in the winter they're going to be fucking freezing to death. And there's a lot of people who sometimes can't afford it. And they're very serious about that being, you know, communistic in terms of their heat. You know, people should be able to have food and heat, right? And some natural, and these natural resources. So you should look at somewhere like that, where, you know, if they had no communism, people would have to rely on each other, which we've grown into such a selfish world. So people just going to their family or to churches wouldn't be enough to be like, okay, the church is going to feed people and the church is going to give them, you know, heat and clothes and this other stuff. No. You know, Evola talks about the state should have a purpose. The state should have a purpose in a human society. In an animal society, it doesn't.
Blood, so I guess, you know, with getting back to Evola, though, Evola probably thought Hitler's National Socialism was a state with a purpose. He probably liked it more than the fascism.
Correct.
Then. Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. Yeah, and that's why people share on socialism. That's why people share on socialism, because of this fact. They separate the meaning of someone's existence. National Socialism included the meaning and the purpose in someone's means of production in someone's life, right? So the socialism of National Socialism was, just think about it. For example, someone's a judge, right? They make $200,000 a year, right? Do you think they're doing what they're doing for anything but by the book, but for themselves, but for their family? Come on, you look at National Socialism, people are doing stuff for their people, okay? And it's personal. It's personal, but it is. It's definitely personal. So there's, and when you look at these National Socialist writers, they talk about that. You, as a human, you have a spirit. You have an urge. You have a sense of waking up in the morning. And that's what National Socialism is. But just because we talk about national doesn't mean state. Yeah, it could be a state. It could be for your culture. It could be for your people. It could be for human fucking existence. Galactic socialism. Yeah. Right?
You know, should mention in the chat here, we have the Revolution Radio chat talking about our show. So just shout out to them. Way of Life, Dean says, what is Studio B talking about? And then Dry Fly Guy said, the guys with the small hats. And then Way of Life says, selling out to the radicals. Christian Zionist is a contradiction, as it is ignoring the timeline and leaning political answer rather than a spiritual one at a philosophical level. Yeah, we got another comment here. He stated here, Karl Marx's daughter did the damage internally in the UK as she changed the face of the left wing. No more Christian socialists, basically. The empire did not kick Karl out like the others eventually did before moving, because they did not fear he could make a difference like he did. So I think this is the first time I've ever read the chat on a live radio show. So thank you. This was
deep. Oh, that's good. That's great. Yes. Yeah, I mean, we got into a bunch of different topics here, but I mean, and that kind of resolves around my, you know, one or two theses that I'm researching, that I'm, you know, reaching out to people like yourself to see the validity of them, if it's even worth doing. Because people have been so successful at targeting these Jewish groups that what's the point of really targeting Jewishness? I mean, it's turned into entertainment. And technically, it's helped the Jews, truthfully. I mean, they've become so powerful over this whole anti-Semitism scheme. We have to break out of it and really just rethink our whole method here.
Like what you said about the anti-Semitism movement, said, I've never heard it put that way. That's one we're getting right to the point. But I want to mention the Kabbalah. You mentioned the Kabbalah. I think the way the Jews have developed the Kabbalah, it's like the biggest bag of magic tricks in the world. I think they took esoteric teachings from other traditions. They stole it from others.
Oh, 100%.
There's a lot in the Kabbalah.
Oh, 100%. I truly think people should look into this. Astrology, in my opinion, there's a couple books. There's one called Planets Within. There's one that's called, Planets Within is a good one, but there's other, if you look up Syncretism Society, Santos Bonacci, he's a right-hand pather. He's more of a New Ager, but he is 100% on point with his astrology, in terms of, these are systems that define the human body. So these ancient systems define us as a temple. Right, the chakras, the human body is a temple. They define us as a reflection of a cosmological body. Right, they define us as a reflection of the planets and the chakras. If you go to Mr. Astrotheology, he's got a list of books in there, and Planets Within is the one that I recently read. But there's a couple books on alchemy and Hermeticism. And they get into this, like, a lot of people look at astrology and they look at it for just horoscopes and that it's just hogwash. But there's a lot, obviously it goes back thousands of years. That's just to get into, I mean, from my understanding, that's the connection with Kabbalah and with esotericism and astrology. And our human bodies.
Yeah.
So how does that relate to Buddhism? Because that's more of like a hermetic and sort of Hindu, because the Hindus are more into like the sidereal astrology, where I know Santos, even myself, I'm more into tropical astrology. How does that relate to, you know, obviously Buddhism gets into, you know, chakras, and is there any astrology in there as well?
Well, the Buddha, he was opposed to the use of astrology. He didn't deny astrology, that there's some real science or truth about it, but he thought if he just practices dharma, that's more effective. So he discouraged the monks from using astrology at all. And also the Buddha never taught chakras. Chakras is not a Buddhist idea. That was something that Mahayana Buddhism incorporated from Hinduism. I think Hindus developed the chakra idea after the Buddha.
Yeah.
As far as you know, the Buddha never mentioned the chakras. There's no reference to it. It's probably something that wasn't known during his time.
A part of me thinks that this is an older system when humans were more advanced, when we were more spiritual. But as we're evolving, as we have been, we're becoming more material. And there's a lot of information out now that astrology in this is more just a part of, you know, the matrix, which is the demiurge, which is a part of the Yahweh Jehovah's world, which is the control mechanism. So I think people, there's, they understand astrology in their charts, But, you know, mostly everyone's chart is individual, right? Everyone has their own specific individual chart. I am for people to actually look into their stuff and see, what's your positives and negatives.
Yeah, I find it's helped me. Like, I'm a year of the pig, and I'm a Capricorn pig. So I think it's helped me in understanding my nature. I think I am the astrological sign.
I don't think it's something for people to like live by, because there's astrologers out there that will do, you know, they will do your astrology for specific dates, your year ahead. Some people follow this on a daily. I don't think that's the best thing to do. I think the best thing is to understand what your negative aspects could be and how to break or realize them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Realize that this is a demiurge, because when you're born, right, at conception and at your breath, there are energies, right, that the sun, people say, right, there's, you know, science that the sun filters these energies from the planets. And at that moment, your soul becomes real. And I think, because I've witnessed a lot of this. I mean, I'm a Scorpio. I've witnessed a lot of just my the positives, but also negatives that I have, right, in my chart. And I implore people to get some readings and just understand themselves and how this can improve yourself. But I do think it's a part of the demiurge that we can break free from it. We can realize it, that this is like a clock. That if we didn't have consciousness, if Adam and Eve didn't eat of the apple, this system would control us like clockwork. It still does, but because we, you know, fed into the apple, we obtained more consciousness, which was a good and a bad thing, right? which caused the whole war in heaven to continue.
I'm trying to define this term demiurge. Like, Buddha said, the three roots of unwholesome action is ignorance, passion, and aggression. So I guess the demiurge is basically aggression or passion or ignorance, all of that. How do you define the demiurge?
Yeah, you see it from a demiurge. Yeah, you see it from a Buddhist sense. I see it from, this term didn't really, this is kind of a new term from the past 2 years or so. I first, I may have heard of it before, but I actually first read about it within, you know, Esoteric Hitlerism. And it was talking about the Cathars. So I looked up the Cathars, what they're all about, why they got put to death. They're into dualism, right? Your Christianity didn't want dualism to, you know, get out. They wanted people to not have a dualistic mentality, right? That there's two parts of God. Or there's two forms of God. I mean, you could call it male and female. You could call it, Satan and, Christ, I guess. That's what the LDS say. They have Satan and Christ are brothers. And then you have the one true God. So that's how I see it. It's the matrix. It's a game in terms of this material world, right? We love pleasure. We love pain. Not that we love pain, but it's just a thing of life. I mean, in terms of in general humans, and that's the demiurge, just keeping that going. So.
Yeah, I can see that from a Buddhist view. But it would say, like, we have a lot of habitual patterns. You can free yourself. Right? You can free yourself
it's
of
a
it. Yeah.
Cycle. Exactly, because it's a never-ending cycle, right? Until the end of days, which the Christians accept revelation, right? Where the Satanists, the real Satanists, don't. The real Satanists say, why do we have to have a revelation? And this is why a lot of these Christians act this way, because at the tippity top, they know this. They use Christianity to control everybody else, but they know this, that they can do whatever they want. Because they know that time is set in motion and is already there. It's a fatalistic mentality. So, Satanists, which I think Esther Hitler's, and this even goes into accelerationism, they look at it more like we have the power as humans if we can accept that there's a fatalistic aspect to it, and we could do the best we can. to hinder it or slow it, or we can, you know, defeat it.
Yeah, yeah. We can
defeat it.
I guess yeah, it's so individual. Acceleration. Because the problem is with Turkey, you're going to find people spiritually, right? You have 8 billion people. We have this Jewish problem controlling most of the population. Yeah. And we're not allowed to have a team. We organize as a team. We each wake up and we have these little cells, little groups support each other.
It's so ingrained. I mean, from the past 2,000 years, right? East and West Christianity versus Western religions. But it's really just Islam versus Christianity, right? And then Judaism in the middle. Which is funny why it's such a, you know, Christian orthodoxy in Russia versus a, you know, westernized Christianity in Europe and America. But yeah, just in terms of the whole accelerationism thing, I mean, if we look at science and our five senses, in a sense, that is fatalistic. Because we only have our five senses. So all the science and everything that could be known is already out there. It's just there for us to make it real and make it known. So that's what, I mean, maybe that goes back to like Revelation is there in interpretation of it. There's an endpoint and we can maybe use AI to calculate it, figure it out and, you know, get to the fatalistic viewpoint.
Yeah,
that's what science is. So that's a part of it. I mean, I guess that's a part of Kabbalah. I mean, there's someone who knows more about it. But, yeah, I think that relates to the chakras, is what you were saying before. Just from my general knowledge of it.
I like the chakras. I like the chakras. And I've meditated on the chakras, and it's kind of a good model, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You know, have you had any personal type of physical awakening with the chakras? I mean... I have.
Can't say. I mean, I've done channeling practice, but I didn't know if it's related to the chakras.
Yeah. I had some awakening because, I mean, Scorpio rules the lower chakras, the sexual organs, you know, Scorpios. And, you know, I've always had, not to get personal. Yeah, I mean, I guess extreme sexuality and... There's a thing within, you know, alchemy and things to, to retain semen and retain ejaculation. This is one thing that I talked about Hitler, though. Hitler was more of like a Cathar, where he probably had a lot of sex when he was young, and then maybe he stopped ejaculating. And some of these, I think it's more of a Hindu thing, is there's a potential to have an implosive orgasm. And Serrano relates this implosive orgasm to the science that the Thule Society and the Thule Society and the SS found. They founded a constructive energy, not a destructive energy, which is related to an orgasm.
That's fascinating. Is that the real? Can you explain that more? We have 4 minutes left before the break, as you mentioned.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Well, I just want to get back to my personal story.
Yeah,
I'm a bigger guy. I've always been like a lifter, you know, a football player. But I started doing yoga actually in college with a girlfriend and then didn't do it again until a couple years ago. Not too much, just here and there, you know, breathing exercises. And I held in my semen for like a month. No ejaculation. I was doing yoga. I went to get a massage because I was doing a detox. And I was doing a Zen's cleanse, which I would recommend that if people look it up. Zen's cleanse, it's a few $100, but it's amazing for the liver. I did that a week later, got a massage. And when I was getting a massage, the guy popped my lower back because I had lower back problems back in the day. But I realized the lower back issue was probably connected to so much ejaculation and some sports injuries. But this guy popped my back. The night of that, I was exuding something from my body. I was sweating. I think it was cerebral spinal fluid that was maybe stuck. And it it's got absorbed by my bloodstream and then released through my pores. And I felt freaking so new. Woke up in the morning, did a little bit of yoga, some meditation, and I was just like, bam, bam. I felt it. And this was only a few months ago. I never really believed in that. But maybe it was just something, you know, physically within my discs or something opening up. But it was, they say it goes to your head, right? I mean, as you go up the chakras, maybe it's your, you know, like pineal gland, or your brain just functions better. You feel it more clear. And I've heard from people I've consulted with is to keep doing this, because I've had some asthma throughout my life, and sometimes it comes up, to keep doing this, because as I, you know, improve my chakras and go up, you know, it's going to go up the spinal cord and, you know, clear up. So I can probably keep working on that. But that was just a personal experience I had. I think it was pretty nice. It was good to feel that, because I never really did that, you know, which wow. Hasn't seemed, especially for a young millennial person.
I learned that from Antexia's got a book called Taoist Secrets of Love. I learned that in 1990, and I've been practicing it since. We only have about a minute before the break. Well, the music's coming
out,
so just
break.
About to warn you.
Okay, yeah, we did go over. I'll stay on the call. Let's definitely talk about some more stuff. I mean, I kind of
went. Sure. Just during the break, you can't talk at all. You can be on the phone, but you can't talk during the break, because we have the commercials going.
Yeah, unless someone else wants to call in.
Well, we'll see.
I was just kind of hyped up today.
Y'all ask callers after the break. I should remind the audience, too, Revolution Radio is totally listener-supported, so please send in your donations. Go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com and smash that donate button. And people can find me on brianrue.ca is my website, or on BitChute. I've got 3,027 and a half videos. Go to bitchute.com. It's the Brian Rue channel.
You have that many, huh?
Wow. Yeah, 3,000. I tell people they should listen for 20 hours a day for 2 months, and they can listen while they're in the bathroom, in the shower, and while they're eating, and then they're going to be properly indoctrinated and educated.
Nice.
But yeah, I think the music's coming on now, so we'll just break now, and we'll be back in 4 minutes. So, yeah, hang on to the call, Mike. Okay, see you.
You're on a break now?
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There is blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Rue Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told.
Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back on Revolution Radio. This is the Brian Roux Show on Tuesday, September the 6th, 2022. And we've got a call in. If anyone else wants to call in, I'll just give you the number right now. You can phone in at 603-635-4946. And Mike, our first caller, you're still on with us?
Hey, Brian.
Hi there. Yeah, so where did we leave off here? We're talking about a number of things. How do we solve all the problems of the world?
Yeah, we were talking about the whole chakras, the whole retaining ejaculation, seeing how that helps men. But we don't have to talk about that. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But I implore people to do some research on that.
Oh, we can. Like, I learned that in 1990, and I've been using that technique since that time, you know. Oh, we have another caller actually coming in here. Here it is.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have three of us here now. So who's our new caller?
Hello, this is Fritz. Hi,
oh,
Brian.
Fritz. Hey, Fritz. Yeah, you were on last week. And you first called when Mike was on a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I guess you have him as guest currently. I can just call back when he's done.
No, he was on the first hour. He wasn't a guest. He just called in.
Hey, man.
Oh,
hey,
if he's still going, I'll just call back here later this hour.
Well, why can't you talk right now?
Go ahead.
No, you can talk now.
Just wait. It's okay.
Well, wait for what?
Okay, great.
Okay. I don't know when he's going to call back, though, but...
This is good. Fritz had a great show with you last week. That was really good. Okay, so we're getting into some of this implosion technology, but I just want to read a bit of Adolf Hitler, The Last Avatar. And this will give you some more information about the white traitors and the demiurge. Okay, so page 351, Adolf Hitler, Last Avatar, and 55 Club, Miguel Serrano. Okay, for more than 2,000 years, the demiurge, Lord of Darkness, has been called Jehovah. Before he had other names for his acolytes, the golems, his servants, his slaves of Atlantis. But he is always the same. He is one. The name Jehovah corresponds to a Kabbalistic number in the Jewish Kabbalah of the Sea. The agent through whom Jehovah works on earth, his archetypical projection in the eternal return as a Jewish people, ideoplasm of his own dark dream, without ontological reality, nightmare of bastardization. And so we already have two enemies, agents of the demiurge, his slaves and servants, the Jewish anti-race and the divine traitors. The Jews who work here on earth, commanded directly by their demiurge Jehovah, the divine ones who have become traitors, have been set up at a point beyond the planet. And from there, they direct the forces of the great conspiracy represented by the ecclesiastical, political, hermetic, exoteric, and esoteric institutions, which they control and inspire in collaboration with the Jews. Period. There's a lot more, but that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the 55 Club book, right?
Yeah, I mean, he did an AI translation of it. I mean, I haven't read. Oh, I actually have read a couple other translations from other books, but not this book. But I trust him that he did a good job in translating it. I believe he worked with Serrano's brother, I believe.
Yeah, Miguel Serrano, he's my favorite of the esoteric Hitlerists, and then Savitri Devi, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is that. There's some other stuff here. Now, this isn't the book that gets into the implosion technology, but what I was just talking about is something that I'm actually... So these few theses I was talking about, this is another project I want to work on, is actually translating some of these books from the Nazi scientists, I guess you can call them, the implosion technology scientists. It was very difficult to find some of their books. I actually paid like $150 for each, for a couple books.
Yeah, tell us about these books. Are these for real? This is written... During National Socialist Germany.
Oh yeah, I mean, look at I went to a tech school. I went to an MITB. So the guys who couldn't get into MIT, I went to the school below that. But it was basically the guys who go to MIT are just, you know, managers and CEOs. The guys who went to my school are all the workers, right? The engineers. So I went to this school, so I know a lot about mathematics and science. And I only found this about, you know, a year and a half ago, but this stuff blew me away. I was just translating it piece by piece and then reading stuff online that was already translated. But they're called Deutsche Mathematics and Deutsche Physics. They have a Wikipedia page about it, but there's a bunch of, you know, scientists who were focusing on this implosion technology. That if we talk about, you know, the Nazi UFOs and the real technology, this is basically what they were consuming. And some people call it ode, you know, or orgone, or vril. This is the energy that they that relates to this implosive, constructive energy. So I believe it relates to mainly just magnetism. But yeah, it's basically. That's basically the topic of that that I'm going to be doing some more research on, because this is something that people have to know. If we're going back to my original thesis of what is Jewishness, right, versus what is non-Jewishness, the Jewishness is this explosive technology, which has ruled our world since the Industrial Revolution, right? You know, gasoline-powered engines, jet-powered aircraft. I literally think they put Wernher von Braun in NASA as a joke. Because Wernher von Braun and the scientists in NASA didn't meet the caliber of these actual scientists who probably got took off planet, or, you know, people say Antarctica, or, you know, center of the Earth. I think it's a portal, you know, center of the Earth that goes to other planets. I mean, it's not something that you can get through the firmament to. You have to go through these portals with the specific technology. So basically, I'm trying to find the books here because I'm moving, so I have all my books all over the place. Oh, yeah, talking about the astrology one, too. Stowe's Bible Astrology, The Planets Within, The Zodiac and the Salt of Salvation, The Light of Egypt. This is the best one. The Light of Egypt says it all. It explains all the planets and all of the hermetic aspects of it within each individual person. So this goes back to our being a non-Jew, is talking about this individual astrology and this individual science that we all need to know. I have The Conquest of Bread here by Peter Kropotkin. People got to read that. I mean, I was never into Russian literature. I was really sick buying that book, but it spoke to me. And that tells about the real communism. God damn, where is this book? Anyways, did that make any sense? Or am I just... Oh, sure. I think I lost him. So I'll be the host here.
No, I'm still here. You're looking for a book?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Science and Creation. The Holy Science. This is a good one. Have you ever heard of this guy? Uteswar Giri.
I know.
He is a Buddhist here. Is he a Buddhist? But yeah, he talks about the Holy Science. That's another one. Anyways, we can continue here. I mean, if anyone knows about Einstein, too, you have to get the word out about Einstein. Einstein is a part of this whole relativity, this whole Jewish science, right, that has been perpetuated.
I've done quite a few shows about Einstein. We've outed Einstein many times. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's Christopher John Bezierkness.
Yeah.
He does a lot with No More News. He's done a few different shows back in the past, but people kind of say he's a Jew or a shill, but I think that's just people trying to slander him. Because he's got some really good stuff, really calling out the specific biblical prophecies about the Jews and all this. And he has a book, he has a book about, space-time theories before Einstein. And, being a TED guy, I literally almost cried because I spent so much time in college bashing my head against the wall doing these complex theories and stuff with mostly foreign professors. and I don't use any of it in my day-to-day job. So, okay, this guy, Uber Relativita Sprinsip. Leonard is the guy. I think he's on the Wikipedia page for Deutsch Physics. If you want to look him up, but there's not much information on him at all, really, online that I could find. In regards to his papers or his books that were translated in that weren't totally shilled on and fucked with, but so some of that stuff I want to translate, but I got to learn German first. That's really, really it. I mean, I have a book here, Wilhelm Reich, Contact with Space. He talks about Orgon, but more in a different light. I actually dabbled with some of these devices, Cloud Busters. Look them up. There's a guy, Orgon Donor.
Yeah.
And this is just information I think people need to, get out there and realize. And this is all in the theme of the whole non-Jewishness. I actually made one. I made a Cloud Buster. And if you think about it, it's basically a battery. It's a natural battery. So it's basically resin, crystals, and copper. So if you look at some of these ancient batteries that they found in Egypt, they were basically made of stuff like this.
Yeah.
They used oil. They used oil type materials.
Yeah.
And oil has a specific energy to it. In terms of, oil, obviously, right? Like what we get, power out of it from burning it. But even essences, right? People make oils out of lavender, cilantro, all this crap. This is basically a resin. I think it's polyester with copper coils and, crystals. And I've played with it over the past year, taking it inside, bringing it outside, seeing the water content of the soil, the humidity of the air, the rain. We've had tons of rain here over the past few months, more than we've had over the past 2 years in Virginia and since I've been here. And there's literally no chemtrails. Dude, it was the creepiest thing. When I put this thing up in December, right after, it was right before Christmas, there was a pentagram in the sky above my house. I swear to God,
wow.
No fucking lie.
Was it a cloud?
I was walking it was chemtrails. I was walking my dogs and I was walking back to my house looking west. And as the sun was setting, they were doing that all the time. Chemtrails close to when the sun was rising around 10 a.m. And then in the afternoon around, an hour or two before sunset. there's something specific about the sun and that energy that they want to fuck with. So I think these are AI devices. These people say these are airplanes. They're AI devices that possibly are holograms of airplanes, or just look like airplanes.
I've never heard of that before. That's an interesting idea. I've never heard of that concept.
So there was chemtrails over my house of a pentagram, and it was there for about an hour. I swear. And it was moving with the wind towards the west, staying in place, the pentagram, until it broke up. Yeah, crazy. Yep. So I think wow. I think they knew. I think they knew. And we haven't literally had, we had no chemtrails, dude. None. Literally. I did some tower busting to the west and east of me. I'm in a good spot where there's not too many towers, and there's no 5G towers, really. 10 miles east, 5 miles west. They're smaller devices of the cloud busters. You can buy them on orbondora.com. But I think this science, people should just try it, invest a little money into it, and just be open-minded to it, and do some documentation, weekly or daily, to what you're seeing and feeling. It's pretty amazing. It hasn't been many chemtrails. So I think that's maybe why there's been a shift in some of the weather this year. Really hot, humid, wet, and just the feel of the air, right? The air isn't stagnant and saturated with golem energy. break up all this government golem robotic nasty energy around here. So anyways, I just wanted to get into that a little bit too, because I think that might relate to some of this real calculation that they did. So implosion, the implosion technology. Maybe I can find something on this.
So I guess Oregon is a similar energy as vril and chi and prana. Does this all mean the same thing?
Yes, you know. Yeah, let me give you a definition of vril, and then I want to see if this matches up with your definition for your world. So what it says here is magical, spiritual power, or organ. Organ with an A. Magical spiritual power or organ, which puts one in touch with all the universes, with the parallel worlds, and with the other dimensions. The Hyperboreans, especially the female magician, the female guru, the fifth born in a family, possess this power. So this is what they're talking about. When they're talking about the female magician, if you're saying last week Maria Orsic was real or not, I believe she was an archetype, and they had many females.
And maybe later, Fritz can come on. Maybe you can finish up by the 30 minutes, and then Fritz can come on maybe later.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You definitely stop me at whatever time you want, and we can have Fritz go on for sure.
Yeah, maybe 30 minutes.
That was the point of having the female energy. It's just because they basically have, this connection, right? Which you look at, the lunar symbology and things, and it's 100% true. So that is the definition of that. And how do we see that match up to your saying prana? I've heard it.
Yeah, prana is more the Hindu term. In the Theravada, the Buddha just said, stir up your energy. There wasn't a particular word for it, just stir up your energy.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, vril, prana, chi. Chi is more the Chinese word, like in Taoism or Qigong or Tai Chi.
Okay. Yeah, we're a bit.
Well, you covered a lot of stuff.
Let me give you another definition, because I like to clear my definitions. I used to be a Scientologist, among other things, and they would kick my ass if I gave verbal beta, because they really got pissed off about a verbal beta. Basically, that's why some people take them the wrong way, because you aren't supposed to basically give answers to things unless you're 100% correct, without some type of written datum to give it material reality. To give it mass. So if people are interested, they can look it up. Mass, not mass in terms of, you know, kinetic energy, but in terms of weight. Okay, Cathars, dualist sect of obscure origin. Its solar castle temple was Montsegur, France. The Cathars were destroyed by the Papist Rome in the 13th century, shortly before the Templars. It has been said that they were the forerunners of the Occitanian troubadours. According to Otto Rahn, they were the Druids who converted to Manichaeism and guarded the Grail in their castle at Montsegur. He reveals this theory in his book, Lucifer's Court. Ooh, that is good. That is good.
And, that's interesting.
And who is Lucifer? One of the names given to Venus, double she-star of morning. He is also Quetzalcoatl and Wotan and Baldur, a hero or liberated one who would come to set himself in the sky as a star to initiate heroes, those who are here on Earth and in other places, through the firmament, combating the demiurge. Lucifer is a distinct light, suggestive, that appears before and after the golden sun, prisoner of the demiurge. The sun is the prisoner of the demiurge. Lucifer, the morning star, has nothing to do with the demiurge and is an example by which to live and die, as Otto Rahn said. As Otto Rahn said, he lost the war in heaven in order to win the war later as the ultimate avatar. He is there above, voluntarily crucified, immobile, and awaiting his possible vindication with our combats. He must lose here in order to carry the earth back to its origins and transfigure it, moving from city to city, chakra to chakra. Like what I was talking about, your astrology in you, within you and without you, externally, until he reaches the void of the black sun, behind the sun of gold, and the green thunderbolt behind the black sun. He is the god of the losers in the Kali Yuga and of the returned Hyperborea. His emblem is a left-handed swastika, that of Hitler, that is the return. He is the supreme guide of the pilgrims of the dawn and the acolytes of Lucifer, the morning star.
Wow, so that's a definition for you, eh? Interesting.
Yeah, it's just a definition. Alrighty. So did we? Yeah, I mean that's. I don't want to get too much into it because it seems like we're all set. But the themes, the theses that I bring about, right? Presenting Jewishness, presenting these exopolitics, these sociopolitical schemes that are. Truthfully, it's a bit sad. I mean, one of my theses is going to say this is it's within our culture implicitly, right? I mean, it's so the structure of the path of humanity is set in stone. It's doing what it should be. Hitler lost for a purpose. The whole national socialism, fascism, communism, capitalism—they're already in implicit in our society. To look at them as an individual entity is just naive, right? And to look at if national socialism would have won or could have won is naive as well, because we live in this material world. So you have to accept
capitalism
and have to accept the fate. So those are my theses, and I'm glad we got to talk about some astrology and some implosion technology. But when I get more into this subject, we could talk about it more in detail, because I'm really just talking in generalities. But
okay, well, it's been a good talk. Maybe we could break now, and I could let the other caller come in, you know, because it's we have about half an hour left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've had some more callers come in, and I'll stay on the line because I want to find the definition of the implosion technology, just to kind of clear that up for the listeners, if there's any. And then we can talk about whatever else with Fritz or whoever else wants to join. I just have all my books all over the place because I'm moving in the fuck out of Virginia with all these government spooks and retards. Excuse my language. And I just have my books everywhere trying to organize them. So, go ahead. I'll shut up.
Okay. Well, I guess if Fritz is listening, you can call in now. So another half an hour left. Yeah, Fritz, we should mention he did the Electric Universe talk last week. It's now a video people can find on my BitChute channel, called the Brian Rue BitChute channel. It's there, called Electric Universe. Oh, I have to pay attention to my screen here. I'm on my Skype Revolution Radio screen. Yeah, okay, here's the call now. Here we go. Okay, Fritz, are you on? Let's see, did I get the call?
Yes, this is Fritz.
Yeah, good to have you back. You're getting lots of hits last week from your electric universe. Yeah, what did you want to talk about this week?
Well, I was a bit remiss not to mention something very significant regarding electric universe, and that was to at least briefly mention the man who probably deserves the most credit for that.
Oh, you don't have to credit for me that all. Really, it was nothing.
Well, the man I'm talking about, the one that from which they seem to derive the most of the theory, was the work of Hannes Alfvén, who was a Swedish physicist.
And
I thought it would be very nice to quote something from one of his papers from 1976. He had won the Nobel Prize earlier, and he also wrote a massive work along with another man named Arrhenius. I think he may have been another Scandinavian. And they wrote a massive work for NASA back in the day in 1976. But anyway, there was a smaller article that Hannes Alfvén produced, and he mentioned some very interesting things in that, including something to do with, I guess you could call it theocratic origin or theocratic myth. You know, he himself did not believe in that, but he brought it up, and he mentioned Brahma in his example, and he did it to counter the Big Bang theory. And so it's very interesting what he had to say, and so he was sort of in a roundabout way lending credence to theocratic mythologies that explain origin of the universe.
Interesting.
Yeah, if I might, I'd be happy, and then I could later email you links to where people could find some of the aforementioned works by Hannes Alfvén.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that'd be great. And by the way, there is a Swedish composer, I assume maybe they're cousins, I'm not sure, named Hugo Alfvén, who did some interesting musical works, but they're two different men. So anyway, From Origin of the Solar System by Hannes Alfvén, and it's from the APL Technical Digest, January-March 1976. Anyway, creation myths, old myths. Speculation about the origin and evolution of the Earth and celestial bodies is probably as old as human thinking. During the millennia that are covered by the history of science, philosophy, and religion, we can distinguish three types of approach to this problem. And here it's just going to mention the first here. The first is the theocratic myth approach, according to which the evolution of the world, i.e. the Earth, was governed by gods who once upon a time created it. And this would also include the cosmogony of this entire solar system, for which he did great work in plasma physics. I want to stress that, getting back to electric universe. Anyway, to proceed here. However, we must remember that the meaning of creation has changed. The earliest meaning of this term seems to have been that the gods brought order into a pre-existing chaos. The world was, quote, ungenerated and indestructible, as Aristotle puts it. And the gods were part of this world and also eternal, world in the larger sense, at least, well, let's say cosmos here, if I might interject. So anyway, according to Indian mythology, the creation took place when Brahma woke up in the morning and, finding the world in a chaotic state, brought order into it, transforming chaos to cosmos. And when Brahma goes to sleep after a billion-year-long kalpa, chaos will again prevail. I'm not sure if that's in line with your thinking about Indian mythology, Brian, but this is what the Alfvén is saying in his scientific work. But anyway, to proceed.
Well, I can describe the Buddha, though. Like the Buddha did say there's the period of universe expansion and universe contraction, but it doesn't go as far as the Big Bang. You're just saying the universe contracts and then it expands.
Yeah,
Buddhism, you know, maybe there was a Big Bang. Buddhism doesn't state that, but he did say the universe expands and contracts, which is pretty remarkable that someone would know that in the 5th century BC.
Yeah. I appreciate you explaining that. That's fascinating. So, yeah, I'll just finish this quote quickly here. But the world is eternal, just as are Brahma and the other gods. I might interject. I think all Indo-European, i.e. Aryan mythologies, whether Norse or Celtic or Hindu, would evince the same here. Okay, now to finish. In the theocratic mythologies, the gods created the world and ruled its evolution according to their whims. We read in the Odyssey how Neptune was angry with Odysseus and generated storms to destroy him, but how Pallas Athena saved him by producing other natural phenomena. In a similar way, the actions of their parents or grandparents, i.e. Zeus, Jupiter, and Cronos, Saturn, and each of those planets figures again into electric universe theory, specifically about our solar system. Their parents or grandparents had led to the creation of the world. There was no obvious reason, this is Alfin's opinion here, why the world should be as it is, although we are welcome to agree or disagree. It was merely an accidental result of the activities of the gods. And that's, again, Hannes Alfin, 1976, from Origin of the Solar System. So anyway, I bring that up. You can agree or disagree with his characterization of things, but it's very interesting, this top scientist who was countering theory of relativity and even Big Bang, and actually trying to bring things back to a more classical model of Newtonian physics in a certain way, and bringing up electromagnetism and plasma and offering various things that could actually explain what gravity really was, physically, as part of electromagnetic and plasma dynamics throughout the cosmos. This Hannes Alfin, and his name, by the way, it's akin to Alba, Albion, Elves, even the river Elba. All these ideas have to do with white. His name is basically saying the white one, his surname, which I find more than a coincidence.
Yeah.
So anyway, sir, I that's all I really wanted to share. I thank you for letting me follow up with what I felt was to do justice to the almost forgotten Hannes Alfin. But again, this man was brilliant. He was a Swedish physicist. He won the Nobel Prize back in the day when I think it meant more. And he was well-respected and he even got published by NASA. So that's all I really have to offer. I can let you go, Brian.
But did you have an extra link you want to put underneath your video from last week? Do you want an email link to add to the description?
I will email you links regarding Hannes Alfin. If that would be fine.
Sure.
And you can put them wherever you like. And I thank you again, Brian. You have a good day.
Yeah, good talking to you, Fritz. Thanks for the call in. We'll be in touch by email too.
All righty. Yeah. All right.
Okay, very good.
Bye-bye.
Okay, see you.
Farewell.
Okay. Good. And Mike, you're still here?
Yes, I am still here. So what was the summation of what Fritz was getting into? Was this just adding to his last week's talk?
He's adding last week on the electric universe. He's got a footnote or an extra link we can add to the description to last week's video. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, you were going to look up a name, weren't you, for the audience?
Yes. Looking it up. Do you have any questions about my thesis or anything like that while I look this up?
Yeah, just wondering how to get people unified, get people to do anything one of the problems with the non-Jews. We're not so unified in our purpose. It's all chiefs and Norwegians, whereas the Jews tend to follow leadership.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, are we ruling out any action? Because, I mean, just following up from the talk when I talked to here, I think 2 weeks ago, was about, you know, if we wanted to organize any real action, we'd have to get off these main platforms and use more privacy technologies and peer-to-peer networks.
Yeah, that was a good talk.
Out all action because, but this is what people are talking about too. Like, is can we have action at a wide scale? Right, I'm talking about, for example, every city in around the world, thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of men and women at the same time take up arms. And you know what I'm talking about. Yes, organize it at a telepathic level. But, you know, we have to get people more spiritual. But at this point, it's most likely going to be at a technological level and use technology for its godly purpose, right? Secret networks. If we can validate people who are spiritually on the level and ready to accept this challenge, this is a bold ask. This is godly. This is angelic, right? We're going to need our higher beings to help us with this. So let's look at reality. Okay. Can we just have action in our individual selves? I'm not talking about lone wolf. I'm not talking about terrorism. I'm not talking about anything violent. I'm talking about action within ourselves, right? To fight this fight in our day-to-day words and actions, right? And it may be a sacrifice, because the sacrifice we're talking about isn't a Judeo-Christian sacrifice, okay? It's our sacrifice of our wants and needs and our demiurgic yearnings and wants. So that's a question, sir, please.
Yeah, I guess how to get people organized. And like, you can do it if you have like secret networks or whatever. How do you get people organized even without secret networks? That's the thing, you know. How do you get people to follow a group?
But then at that point, where do we go from there? Right? The new world order in place. Are we going to replace it with a new world order? Are we going to put in place a form of national socialism in every culture around the world and follow these specific deeds that Hitler was, you know, sought out for, which was more cultural? Because if you look at race, I mean, Germany and Austria, there were many different races within Germany. I mean, if you look at it, it was more of a white racial thing, but it was more of a cultural thing. And that kind of goes in line with what Evola was saying is better. Evola was sort of, I think what he had to write was to save his ass so he didn't get murdered. He said the issue with Hitler and National Socialism was it was just a racial thing. Okay, sure, you can say that. But if you really look at it, I mean, there was Mischlings. There was Jews that were still working within that country. There was, I mean, the Holocaust just wasn't all Jews. It was like a small, small percentage of Jews, actually. It was more white people and Mongols and stuff in camps than actual Jews. So that's not a racial thing. And then we're looking at the actual country of Nazi Germany. It wasn't all Germans. I mean, you look at the history of Germans from the Holy Roman Empire, Catholics versus Protestants, Prussia, Eastern Europe, Czech. It was so, there's so many different races and languages. It's a culture. That's what he wanted. So that's what we're talking about. So is this even doable? Why complain? Why even go on this path, right? Maybe what we have to accept is how the Mormons accept this world. It is the demiurgic materialistic world. And there's no reason to fight it. You have to play with it, get what you want, and get what you can get for your family, your group, your society. And I'm telling you, a lot of them, these Christians say, yeah, don't hurt others, follow the Ten Commandments. But hey, if they can get away with stuff, I'm telling you, they get away with stuff. White collar and blue collar crimes. So maybe that's what we have to accept. The only point of it is self-sacrifice and self-honor. That is the only thing that potentially matters.
Mm.
So let's see. I'm actually wrong. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying Hitler was kind of unique in unifying the German people under National Socialism, like 90% approval rating. But now no leader is popular. No leader is really unifying his country, not that much. So it's so hard, like, to get people unified. And the world's kind of under a revolution, a globalist World Economic Forum global revolution right now in our face.
Exactly. It's
moving fast.
Exactly. It's controlled by, well, and that's what, there was this astrologer, oh my gosh, Olya, I think her name was. There's a YouTube channel, Decode Your Reality. I don't really believe everything he says, but he does a lot of with like numerology and alchemy, which is pretty cool. There's an astrologer on there who was talking about this. Shit, what was the point? What did you say, Brian? I almost lost my train of thought there.
Well, I'm just saying how we're not unified. Like National Social Journey was kind of unified, but that the World Economic Forum or the global revolution is quite a top-down, highly financed.
That's what she's,
takeover.
Exactly. This is, but if you look at what it was 2,000 years ago and more than 2,000 years ago, it was gold. So this guy on this channel goes to the alchemy of gold. And what is the meaning of gold? It's not just a technological thing, a value thing. I mean, it does have a lot of the best base properties as a metal. But is it just that has been used as a control mechanism? And now it's you know, not gold, obviously. It's just artificial, you know, brownie points and artificial tokens. But there's a lot of evidence. I mean, when I start getting into this whole spiritual Satanism stuff, that has been hidden, because if people get into that, they will find out what the other dimension is and who is actually ruling the world and why they say demons are, you know, red face, blood dripping down their mouth, horns, evil, crazy dudes. No. Yeah. No, no. The real Lucifer is blonde, blue-eyed Aryan.
Yeah, how do you define Lucifer? Like, where is he? What's the history of Lucifer from your view?
That's a good question. Yeah, I read a good quote there. Yeah, supposedly Lucifer and Satan are different entities. I mean, I don't know as much from a biblical sense, but I do know from, I mean, I've read, I'm not a Mason, but I've read Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, which is, that dude is on another planet in terms of his intelligence. I can't even figure out what he's talking about there. He talks about a lot of esotericism and hermeticism. So people bash the Freemasons.
Yeah.
On an exoteric level, sure, the Freemasons do some fucked up shit as a society, but on an esoteric level, the Freemasons, if you look at this, you know, Albert Pike has, you know, some of the best, academia for Freemasonry, right?
Yeah.
And it's more modern than was Weisenhop, who was one of the first guys to.
Yeah, Weisenhop, 1776.
But he gets into astrology, esotericism, and talks about Lucifer. It's basically the opposite of what Christianity says. I mean, Lucifer is the real light bringer. Lucifer is the real, he's the real meaning and the real, I'm not trying to personify it. It's just the real meaning that you have to be aware of, that on this earth, you, the human, are evil and are good. You have heaven and hell in you. You have to realize that. You have to realize that, like, you know, and the accepting of that. I mean, you know, Christianity says the totally opposite, that, you know, evil is you know, its powers and principalities. It's demons, quote unquote. Demons, quote unquote. No, it's not. I mean, I wouldn't consider entities as good or bad. It's basically just entities have different priorities, right? The war in heaven, Jesus and Satan, is basically just different priorities for humanity and for nature and for spirituality. It's not evil versus good. I mean, if you look at the history of like sacrifices and things, a lot of that, it really goes back to Judaism. So So if you want to talk about darkness and talk about evil, people can look at that. But from my understanding, that's the real bringer of light. And light means knowledge. It doesn't mean the sun shining in your face. But yes, the sun does, you know, open up portals in yourself. In terms of understanding that it's a fulcrum, right, of the whole astrological aspects. And I believe the sun is the main entity of one of the chakras. I just can't remember which one it is. So we got to do a few different things. Okay, this is what I wanted to find. Thank you. I found the book, Manu, For the Man to Come. Manu for the Man to Come. And I'm telling you, this was, Joe Sanson says it amazing in this interview. He says, this stuff just came to him. It was very inspirational. And this came to me. This was very inspirational. Actually, I found Miguel Serrano through Wayne and through Thule Society. I think the first book I bought and read, really, that was a book, a good book on National Socialism and the history of it, was on the Armin and Runes by Alfred Avery. Amazing. Armin and Runes and the Black Sun, Modern Heathenry, Volume 1. He gets into this is just the best source I've found on explaining left-hand path versus right-hand path, okay? Because everyone wants to, talk about esotericism versus exotericism. Everyone wants to say, oh, left-hand path versus right-hand path. I don't think they're, they're mutually exclusive, right? We need both. So that's a good one. And then that led me to Miguel Serrano, and I think this was one of the first ones I read, and this blew me away. But this has a great little chapter here on explosion. Page 68. Okay. Let me see if I can find a good little section here. I think we got some time here. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got about 10 more minutes for the end of the show. And in the chat, Mitchell Bupp says he's one of your neighbors. He's in Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then he's not a retarder, Spook.
Some left to compensate. Is that Greenheart 1 on Studio B? Sounds like him to me, but said, no, this is Mike in Virginia.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. No, it's actually a really nice place, in terms of nature and stuff. But once you work in the government and been around government people, you really despise them, and it makes me puke every single day. So it's the main reason why I'm living.
I'm close to Seattle here, Northwest, but Seattle's also very liberal, like Vancouver. I think there's a lot of lefties in Seattle. Might be just as bad. out of California, and Washington. They're heading back east.
It's not lefties versus righties, man. It's the golem. It's the golem energy. I could explain that more in another talk if you want.
Right, but I think Seattle's no better for the golem than Virginia. Seattle's probably just as, Microsoft is based in Seattle.
Yeah.
Or is it Amazon? Yeah, Amazon is Seattle.
That's one of the options. We'll see here. Alrighty. No, it's good. It's good. We'll definitely talk about that. I appreciate that that insight. Okay, so I'm just going to read this here. Bear with me. Page 70, Manu for the Man to Come. Mechanistic science, exploding science, theorizes that the visible universe is something like 10 billion years old and will eventually end at a predetermined date. The Rishi sages of Vedic India determined the periods of eternal return by kalpas, manvantaras, and yugas, cycles within other cycles. We are at the end, when the current cycle is within the open jaws of the Fenrir wolf in the Kali Yuga, the fourth age, the Iron One, with the earlier being the bronze, silver, and out of gold, the golden age, the primordial paradise. Our cosmology knows a fifth age that will be the result of the judgment of the Kali Yuga, the age of lead, indescribable for its horror. And we think that because these are symbolic figures of tantric alchemy, being from lead, that involution again, ascends, transmuting into gold, back towards the Golden Age, the Satyuga. From lead is the opera manga of heroes, and combat begins again. And there, by means of the implosion, or rather, anti-gravitational science, it becomes possible to overcome entropy, wear and tear of burnout, and exhaustion of matter, retracting the ages, conversely, to reach the outcome of gold. The alum, potabile, one drinks to gain immortality with a body of red gira, libido, and red giant stars. Okay, there was a lot in there. That's probably not the best one to read, but that was actually really good. But there's a lot in there that people might not know what Calpros or opera manga of the heroes means, or what the Kali Yuga is. You could define that.
Yeah, the Buddha is the term Kalpa. Very, very long age, incredibly long period of time.
Yep. From this explosion came the cosmic clouds, stars, suns, and galaxies, and everything began to expand and move outwards, be displaced, in the search for something like the vital space, the mechanics of an imperialism of matter in the universe of visible light, with its implacable laws, an invasion at the expense of what would seem to be nothing. But that is in truth another universe, not ruled by the mechanical laws of explosion, but by other laws, or by none, as was sort of seen by Nietzsche. For this reason, we call it a universe of the spirit. There's a lot in here. Yeah, he talks about the robot golem, leaving lost matter in the belly of something like a robot golem who feeds from this destruction and is thereby able to begin everything again in another kalpa, in other rounds, in eternal return. So exactly. So they're basically feeding the continued existence of the demiurge. I'm trying to get something more here, more like layperson, right? Something more understandable, because that's what we're trying to get at, right? Define Jewishness and how to get it, you know, over our minds here.
How would you define Jewishness? It's like a tribe sticking together.
For sure.
Strong tribal.
I know he talks about this also in Hitler's UFO Against the New World Order. So that's a shorter book. But at this point, he goes into Lucifer and invocation. He talks about implosion one more time. Yeah, so basically, this is the technology that's anti-gravitational, which makes a lot of sense. He brings up another good point here in terms of the technocracy and relating that to this whole golem energy. But I'll leave it there.
Okay. Yeah, we've got four or five minutes left to the end of the show. Yeah, it's been a long time, 2 hours. You've been with us the whole time. I've never had a guest on this long. Well, I mean, a phoner. I've had guests on for 2 hours, but never had a phone call in for that long. Well, it'd be good for you to get Skype, though, because your sound is a bit muffled. Anyone on the phone, it's not going to be as good as Skype. It's like a direct connection.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But yeah, like sound quality is much better with Skype. Yeah.
All right.
Because you're not going through a cell phone, you know, it's much clearer. It goes right through the mic on your computer. Do you have a computer with a microphone, obviously, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more of a I'm at the question stage of my thesis, right? I have a question. I've made my statement, and now I'm doing fact finding and seeing if it's actually really worth it to investigate. I mean, is it just exoteric versus esoteric? I mean, is it really simple just to say, you know, no usury? But, you know, that would mean if we're saying, what's the spectrum of that? Does it just mean don't get in the credit system? Or does it mean don't have a mortgage? It's like, how many people is that, right? I mean, there's a lot of people who have a paid off home, but they have to have a mortgage, and maybe at some point, a lot of people. Unless they... I mean, I guess there's ways to do it, buy land and somewhere really cheap in the north or in the middle of nowhere and build from there. But that might seem incomprehensible, you know?
I'm just saying with usury, the big problem with usury is The international Jews can print $1 trillion a week with the Federal Reserve printed out of thin air, just the cost of paper and ink. And everyone else has to work hard for the money, and they can use that money to bribe shills to betray their own race. So,
what's
the solution?
Well,
I'm so optimistic.
Well, I mean, that's the number one thing, then, right? The number one thing we're talking about here with Jewishness is the means of, the monetary system, right? The means of trade and value.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the power. Yeah, I mean, National Socialism, Hitler really had a great.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.